Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Be'ah Daf Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 16 lines from the top. Before we begin the shiur, let us glance at the side of the page where you can see we have a nosei, a topic heading for this particular sugya, and we read as follows: Pirush Divrei Rebbe Eliezer. We'll be focusing on explaining Rebbe Eliezer that says Beitza Shenolda B'Yom Tov Tocha Teochel Hi V'Ima. An egg that's laid on Yom Tov, eat it and its mother. So we turn now to the Gemara text, Tanya, Achirim Oimrim Mishum Rebbe Eliezer. The Achirim cites Rebbe Eliezer as saying, Beitza Teochel Hi V'Ima, a Beitza, an egg that is laid on Yom Tov, eat it and its mother. Bemai Askinon, what are we talking about? The double underline marking is explained on the side under the Mivneh as Shlavei Biwur. You'll see the use of the double underline here and a number of lines down the page. These are simply stages in trying to explain what we're talking about. The diamonds that will follow are Shnei Hesberim, are two explanations. So what are we talking about? If we're talking about a chicken that is raised for its meat value, as opposed to an egg-laying chicken, pshita dehi v'imo sharia, it's obvious that the egg that was laid and the mother are permissible. What do you need a Tanaic source to tell me that which is easily understood? The Rashi says, a few lines down from here, Pshita dehi v'imo sharia klomar, im bo lomar kebe shamai, if the purpose of Rabbi Lezer is to tell me Shitas Beishamai, Shitas Beishamai we saw in the first Mishnah of this Perek, and Beishamai is lenient with regard to eggs laid on Yom Tov. So then, L'shaminon Beitza, Ima Lomali, tell us about the egg. The permission granted for eating the egg is a greater chidush than the mother, which is Omedes Lachila. Why? Tell me, Pshita Desharia, it's obvious. So when the Gemara says, Pshita Dehi V'Imo Sharia, as Rashi says, the Gemara is saying, it's obvious that once you tell me that the egg is mutter, the mother certainly is mutter. So why does the source have to tell me that the hen is allowed? So, Ela, Betarnegulis, Hoimedes, Legadel Beitzim. We're talking about a chicken that's purpose is for raising eggs. Well then, if that's the case, he ve'imo asura. We know, Rashi says, that Rebbe Eliezer holds from the concept of mukta, that which is set aside for non-Yom Tov purposes. So when a chicken that's been that you raise for its egg production, you're not interested in slaughtering it and eating it on Yom Tov. So if that's the case, then this source, particularly the fact that Rebbe Eliezer is the one being quoted who holds from Mukta, he wouldn't allow the consumption of the mother, and certainly not the egg. Omar Rebbe Zera. So Rebbe Zera explains what this source is referring to. It's Tochal Agav Ima. you can eat the egg along with the mother once we assume that you can eat the mother. Hechidomi, what are the circumstances? Omar Abaye, kagon shelo kostam. A case where a person bought a chicken without expressing his intent. Well, expressing his intent, what he plans to use it for. So then we say, nishchato, if he slaughters the mother on Yom Tov, huvro d'achila omedes, then it shows us retroactively that he intended it for eating purposes, and the egg that it laid will be allowed. Lo nishchato, if he doesn't slaughter it, huvro d'legadil beitzim omedes, then he is demonstrating that he bought it for egg-laying purposes, and hence the egg and the mother are osir. Rav Mori Omar. Rav Mori, you see, is also in a diamond, a second diamond. So it's also an explanation as to what Rabbi Elazar was saying. Guzma Kotoni. Guzma is what we might call an exaggeration, or a person who speaks more than ordinarily is needed in order to make a point. Rashi says, Guzma Kotoni, ke'odam shirotze lahachzik dvorov medabir yeser. Person who wants to strengthen his words so he speaks more. Uvimedes lachilo komar, and we're talking about a chicken that is for its meat purposes, its meat value. V'nechlak al Beis Hillel ha'oyserman. Rabbi Elazar comes to argue on Beis Hillel, who would forbid the egg. V'imolo itzterich lei, the citation of the mother of eating the chicken itself is not necessary. It's obvious that it's allowed. Elagozim v'omer milsi yisera hakol yochal. He exaggerates and says more than he needs to say. Eat everything. Gam es ha'aim. Gam es, or there's a gears on the side. Gam es ho'av. Gam es ha'ben. Reading now in the Gemara. Desanya. And take note of the fact that this is a long point. Singular point is made in the next number of lines. The source is to be understood thusly. Achirim omrim, mishum Rabbi Elazar, beitza te'ocheo, the egg of a chicken that's ohimedes lachilo. You can eat the egg. He ve'imo ve'efroach ukli poso. You can eat it, and now we'll just translate. You can eat the mother, the egg that is, that's laid from a tarnigos medes lachilo, from a meat purpose chicken. You can eat the egg. You can eat the mother. You can eat the chick, and you can eat the shell. My kliposo. What do you mean by eating the shell? Ilemo klipo mamish. If you think it means to eat the actual eggshell containing the chick, klipo basachilohi. Is it something edible? It's not edible. Elo efroach bekliposo. Do you mean eating the chick while it's still unhatched? That can't be. Ad kan lo plugi rabbonon alei de Reb Elazar ben Yaakov. Up till now, there is a machlokes tanoim surrounding chicks. Elo hecho di yotz lavir oilam. There is a machlokes concerning hatched chicks that have come out into the world. In other words, there's a machlokes. Can you shecht a newborn chick before its eyes have opened? But in either case, it would have had to have been born, in other words, hatched, before you can. Aval hecha delo yotza la'avir ho'olam lo pligi. But prior to its emergence from its shell, no one allows its eating. It's considered a sheretz. It's considered a forbidden item at that point. Elo efroach ukliposo, the expression in this source that spoke about the chick and its shell, guzma, is simply an exaggeration. Hocho nami te'ocheil hi ve'imo guzma. Likewise, the expression "you can eat it and its mother" is also an exaggeration. It's to make the point that in the case of a tarnagolas hoimedis, the achila, not only can you eat the mother, but you can even eat the egg, emphasizing what we call the shita that argues with Beis Hillel, who would have forbidden the egg. For Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Nolda Bozeh Muteres Bozeh. We skipped a couple words, and very important words, actually. You see the triangle Itmar on the side of the Gemara. We have, to immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, we have a triangle with a Roman numeral number 1. The number 2 you will find on Omid Beis. And, in fact, there you will find a number 3 as well at the bottom of Omid Beis. Three triangles. Now, on the side of the Gemara, under the Nosei, the topic heading, we've written Shabbos V'Yom Tov. Nolda Bozeh Ma Dino Bozeh. And you have Shabbos and Yom Tov falling out back to back. In other words, you have Shabbos followed on Sunday by a Yom Tov beginning on Motzoi Shabbos. An egg is laid on Shabbos. What is the din with regard to using that egg on Yom Tov? Under the structural note, we have the Mivneh, the structural note. There are three triangles. There are three halachas shel Rav, binyan beitza, shenoldo bozeh, mahu bozeh. And we have a note that you could look at Rashi on Dalet Amud Beis, Dibor Masril Hilchisa. Which makes note of the three halachas. The Rashi referred to is four lines from the top of Omid Beis, and Rashi says Hilchos Kavosei de Rav Behani Tlas Sheomar LeInyan Beitza LeInyan Beitza Zu Mishabes V'Yom Tov. That's halacha number 1, and then Ulekamei. That Lekameh means, and further on, Bishnei Yomim Toivim Shel Golias Nechlak Lahokel. That's the triangle number 2 that we made reference to, and there you see that Rav is lenient regarding 2 days of Yom Tov that are celebrated outside of Israel. That's Shnei Yomim Toivim Shel Golias. And 3, that's the third triangle, V'Hashlishi Bishnei Yomim Toivim Shel Rosh Hashanah Nechlak Lahachmir. And there he is stringent. So you can see just another example of Rashi and his sensitivity to Gemara structure. We have used the triangles for this purpose. So now the Gemara. Itmar. Shabbos V'Yom Tov. And I hope that this scenario is not brand new to you, because this, in fact, was and one of the explanations given for our Mishnah, the first Mishnah of the Perek, under we spoke about Beitza Shenolda B'Yom Tov, and under what circumstances is the egg usher. And we saw on the Beis Omid Beis, Rabba said that we're talking about a Tarnagolas Hoimedis L'Achila, a meat purpose chicken for its meat value, not an egg layer, and such a chicken laid an egg on a Yom Tov that followed Shabbos. And at that point, Rabba set up our Mishnah, and the egg is forbidden by Beis Hillel because of Hachona. And we explained at that point a holy day needs its meals prepared on a weekday, and if you have Yom Tov following Shabbos or vice versa, the egg is, before it's laid, it's completed the day before. So the day before the day preceding the day that it actually emerges, it's laid, is the day that is serves as its preparation. You cannot have a holy day preparing for another day, for another holy day. So that was, in fact, the case that we're seeing here in this first triangle of Shabbos V'Yom Tov, when they're back to back. So now, in our case, Rav Omar Nolda Bozeh Asura Bozeh. If it's laid on one, it's forbidden to be eaten the next day. If it's Nolda Bozeh Asura Bozeh. We have to retract a bit of what we said, because the case of the Mishnah was, it was actually born on the second of the days. Here it's born on the first of the days, and then we want to know, can it be eaten on the next day? So in that sense, it's different than the case that we just featured. So we are retracting what we said, but let's continue anyway. So Rav says, Nolda Bozeh Asura Bozeh, V'Rav Yochanan Omar Nolda Bozeh Muteres Bozeh. If it's laid on the first of the 2 days, it's muter on the second one. So the Gemara asks, Neimo Kosova Rav Kedusha Achasi. Should we say that Rav's stringency is based on his viewing the 2 days as one continuum of sanctity? And if you were to say that, so being that it's one continuum of sanctity, it's like one long day, and you cannot eat it, the egg, because of Beitzah Shenolda. It's no lot, but that's not true. V'homar Rav, halocha ke'arbo zekein v'alibo d'Rebbe Eliezer. D'yomar shtei kedushas hein. Rav has reported the name of four sages who speak in the name of Rebbe Eliezer, that Shabbos and Yom Tov are considered two separate entities of sanctity. Elohocho v'hachono d'rabo komifligi. And here you have the tie-in to what we had mentioned before, is that we're dealing with the Hachona de Rabo situation, and where you, in order to benefit from something on a holiday or on a Shabbos, it has to be prepared from the weekday. Rav Isle Hachona de Rabo, Rav, who is stringent, accepts Rabo's restriction of Hachona, and Rabbi Yochanan Lesle Hachona de Rabo. And Rabbi Yochanan does not accept that analysis. And in fact, we saw other Amoraim not accepting Rabo in our discussion on Daf Gimel. The Rashi here points out, on the second wide line under the Gemara, Hachona de Rabo, the Omar, Hachona bidei Shemayim Mitzra miyom tov l'Shabbos. Hachona b'dei Shemayim is that which is prepared without my actually doing something that happens automatically, is forbidden from Yom Tov to Shabbos. Desuda Shabbos bayo hazmono miyom chol. That which you eat on Shabbos needs to be prepared from a weekday. Migzeras hakosuv, based on the pasuk, and we saw the pasuk on Daf Beis Amid Beis. V'hoi b'yom hashishi v'chinu es asher yaviu. To be quite honest, just in the course of speaking now, I noticed the second Tosfos on this page picks up on the mistake, or maybe it's not really a mistake, of what we mentioned just before. So just to review what we were hesitating with before, was that when we initially saw the sugya of Hachona de Rabo on the Beis Amid Beis, there it spoke about Shabbos and Yom Tov, where Yom Tov follows Shabbos, just like the case here. And if it was born on or laid on Yom, if it came out on Yom Tov, it was said to have been finished, completed on Shabbos, and Shabbos was then in the role of preparing for Yom Tov. And then we pointed out, but here we're talking about a case of it was laid on Shabbos, and the question is, can I use it on Yom Tov? Tosfos points this out. Elo b'hachono de rabo kamifli. So let's read the Tosfos together. V'teimo, How can you say that this case here on Daf Dalet is a function of Hachona de Rabba? Deho Amrinon, we said there on Daf Beis, Kol Hecha de Misyaldo Ho'idna, that which is born today, may esmol gomrola, was completed the day before. The in Cain, and if that's the case, kishachal Yom Tov lachar Shabbos, like the case we have here where Yom Tov is coming out after Shabbos, vabeitza nolda b'Shabbos, and the egg was laid on Shabbos, which preceded Yom Tov, so vabeitza nolda b'Shabbos, he nigmeres b'yom shuchol. The egg then, based on the principle Rabbo said there, that the egg is completed the day before it emerges, so then it was completed on Friday. So that it's really completed on Friday, laid on Shabbos, and my question is, can I use it on Yom Tov? It should certainly be all right. Vim kein my hachona iko. So then what's the issue of hachona to begin with? That was the point that we had stumbled upon earlier. This very question. V'yesh lomar, so Tosfos answers, de mikol mokoim, kishenolda b'Shabbos, Harezu hachona. The fact that it's laid on Shabbos and you want to use it on Yom Tov, that is also hachona. The gam b'shas leido shayach hachona. The laying of the egg is also considered hachona. Therefore, it's true it might have been completed inside on Friday, but its laying took place on Shabbos. And now, if you hold from Rabbah's Isser of hachona, you cannot use it on Sunday, which is Yom Tov. In other words, the laying of the egg and the completion of the egg inside the chicken are both elements of hachona. V'oid yesh loimar, and a further explanation, the kevon di imnolda b'Yom Tov harezu asura. If it would have been laid on Yom Tov itself that followed Shabbos, then it clearly would have been usur. Im nomar kishenolda b'Shabbos harehi muteres. If you're going to say that when it's born, it's laid on Shabbos, it's allowed b'shvil oisa leido de Shabbos, because of its being laid on Shabbos, im kein havi Shabbos mechin the Yom Tov. So then that very observation is having Shabbos being mechin the Yom Tov, and the Hachona de Rabba prohibition says that a holy day cannot prepare for another holy day. So what we thought was a mistake is really not a mistake. They all fit together into the realm of the Isser Hachona de Rabba if you subscribe to that. And the Gemara here is saying that Rav does subscribe to that. We continue with, and Rabbi Yochanan does not hold from Hachona de Rabba, therefore, Nolda Boze, Muteres Boze. Ketanoi, the issue is a Machlokas Tanoim. Nolda, an egg is laid, B'Shabbos, Teochel, B'Yomtov. B'Yomtov, Teochel, B'Shabbos. This is like Rabbi Yochanan. And now, number two, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, Adayin, Hi Machlokas. The issue is a Tanaic controversy, an earlier Tanaic controversy. Shebeishame omrim teocher. Beishame is lenient, just like we saw at the first Mishnah of the Perek. Ubeis Hillel omrim lo teochel, and Beis Hillel is restrictive. We have a marking, a house marking, and on the side of the Gemara, you see we have a house marking. Ushbizichne. Zershnei maisim im ushpizoyim hakshurim lebeitza mi Shabbos liyom tov vahepech mi yom tov leShabbos. We have two incidents involving innkeepers, and ushpizichnei is an innkeeper, and the stories are related to eggs from yom tov to Shabbos and vice versa. The Gemara, Ushbezichne de Rav Ado bar Avo. Rav Ado's innkeeper, Havu le Hanoch Beitzim Yom Tov le Shabbos. Now, just with the markings, you'll notice that we've underlined Beitzim Yom Tov le Shabbos. The next underline after the next house marking, this is Beitzim Mishabbos le Yom Tov, the opposite direction. So in this case, he had some eggs that were laid on Yom Tov, and it's now Shabbos. Also, the kamei, So the innkeeper comes to Rav Ada, Omar Lei, and he asks, "Mai la'atvinu ha'idna? Can I roast the eggs today on Yom Tov? V'nichlinu l'mohar, and have them ready for tomorrow for Shabbos." Omar Lei, "Mai daitoch?" So Rav Ada asks in response, rhetorically, and he's answering him, and he says, in suggesting this, in other words, moving the eggs around, carrying around the eggs on Yom Tov, for and roasting them in anticipation of Shabbos, is your reasoning based on the following Rav Reb Yochanan, Lochka Reb Yochanan, that when you have a machlokas between Rav and Reb Yochanan, the rule of psak, of issuing halachic decisions, follows the opinion of Reb Yochanan, and Reb Yochanan, we saw, was lenient. So is it based on Reb Yochanan that you are raising this possibility? If that's the case, you're off the mark, because afilu Reb Yochanan lo kosher elo legomo lemachar, even Reb Yochanan, all he would allow is swallowing it raw the next day on Shabbos. In other words, once it's laid on Yom Tov, you can use it the next day on Shabbos, and on Shabbos you can't roast it, so gomo, you'd have to, all you'd be able to do is swallow the egg raw. Avol, biyomei, lo. But on the very day that it was laid, even Rabbi Yochanan is not going to allow moving it around as would be necessary in order to roast it. There's an issur of muktzah on the egg on the day itself that it's laid. V'hotanyo, and support to this is in the following source. Achas beitza shenolda b'Shabbos, v'achas beitza shenolda b'Yom Tov. Whether it's an egg laid on Shabbos or it's an egg laid on Yom Tov, ein metaltalin osa, you cannot move the egg around on that very day that it's laid. Lo lechasos bo sakli, v'lo lismoch bo kare hamita. You cannot move it around for lechasos, to cover a vessel, to use an egg as a type of bottle stopper, nor can you use it to support the legs of a bed. So what Rav Ada is telling the innkeeper is that your question of roasting the egg that was laid today on Yom Tov in order to have it ready to eat on Shabbos is out of the question. Ushpazichne derav popo, v'amrila hahu gavra, v'asalekame derav popo. This story has two versions by way of who is coming to Rav Papa, either his innkeeper or some man that came to Rav Papa. Havle hanoch beitzim mishabbos liyom tov, and he had eggs that were laid on a Shabbos that was followed by a Yom Tov. Also the kamei, he comes to Rav Papa. Omale mahu lemichlinu lemochar, can I eat the eggs the next day? So he has eggs that were laid on Shabbos, and he wants to know, can I eat them on Yom Tov? Omar le, zil ho'idna v'tol l'mochar. Rav Papa says, listen, go today. I'm not going to answer you. Go away from me today. Come the next day. And why am I pushing you off today? Because you're coming to ask me just after I had my Shabbos meal, and during a Shabbos meal, a festive meal, people drink, become intoxicated, and are incapable of answering questions. The Rav lo muki amura aluya miyomatov lechavrei mishum shichrus. Rav, who was a famous Torah scholar, Torah lecturer, and in his classes, in his shiurim, in his lectures, there would inevitably be halachic rulings. In giving a public lecture, you can see throughout the Shas, there was someone that would stand by the lecturer's side and speak in a loud, audible voice for everyone to hear. That that individual is called the Amora. He's the human public address system. Now, Rav would not deliver his shiur, which involves setting up an Amora, from Yom Tov until the next day, which means, as we said before, on a Yom Tov, and in this case probably a Shabbos, where there's a meal, a big meal, and you drink intoxicating beverages, one who is intoxicated, who is not allowed to render halachic decisions in such a state. So Rav Papa, feeling that he was under the influence of the alcohol. He says to the fellow, listen, come tomorrow. When the guy came back the next day, Omar Le, Rav Papa tells him, continue at the top of Omid Beis, Ichu Hashta Ishtaloi, had I answered you yesterday in my state of inebriation, I would have erred. Ishtaloi means I would have forgotten the halacha. The Amriloch, and I would have said, and this is now what would have been a mistake, I would have said, well, you're asking me a question concerning the egg that was laid on Shabbos, can use it on Yom Tov, and I would have said, Rav, Rav Yochanan, Aloch, Rav Yochanan, that generally speaking, when you have a machlokas between Rav and Rav Yochanan, the rules of Psak, tell me, follow Rav Yochanan. And here, Rav Yochanan was lenient in this very case. However, to rule like Rabbi Yochanan would have been a mistake. Ha'omar Rava, but Rava has said, Hilchus Kavose de Rav Behani Tlas Bein Lekula Bein Lechumra. The halacha follows Rav in these three triangled cases that we pointed out by reading the Rashi earlier. These three cases, whatever Rav says, whether he's lenient in that particular case or he is stringent. Now, in our case of Mi Shabbos Yom Tov, Rav happens to rule stringently. The egg is forbidden. Rav holding by the rule of Hachona, Hachona de Rabo. And therefore, it's good, it's fortunate that I didn't answer you yesterday, because I would have slipped up and given you a heter when allowance, permission, when that was would have been out of line. Now, in our markings, we have a bracketed section. On the side, there's a starred note, and there we've written Basograim Mivoididim Shnei Halochas Shel Eitzim Shenoshu Bimei Kodesh, two cases, and we'll see later that the diamonds here highlight those cases of wood that falls off on a holy day. And another purpose of these brackets, not just to isolate the two halachas, but shomrim al retzef halachas shel beitz shenolda v'chul, etc. It also enables us, if you skip the bracketed section, use your bracket length indicator, you'll see the next triangle, itmar shnei yomim tovim shel golias, the next of the second of the three halachas in this series of eggs laid on one holy day, and our interest, what is the status of use on the next day, the next holy day, the following day. So now that the structure is clear, let us glance at the Nosei Mivne heading in the other margin, where we see a diamond featured. These are Shnei Halachas, Eitzim Shenoshru B'yom Kodesh. As we go on in this particular section, the first diamond that follows that. Following it, you'll see some double underlining. It highlights the words Beitza and Eitzim. Let's continue. Omar, now in the brackets, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Eitzim Shenoshru Min Hadekel B'Shabbos. Wood that fell off a tree. Dekel is a palm tree. Fell off a tree on Shabbos. Osir lahasikon b'yom tov. You cannot use it as fuel the next day, which is a yom tov. Rashi points out it's yom tov that's samuchlo. I mean, it's Shabbos was followed on Sunday by yom tov. The al tejiveni beitza, and don't try to challenge my ruling based on what I said regarding the egg. Because I said, this is Rabbi Yochanan himself speaking, we saw this just earlier, I said that an egg that is laid on Shabbos is mutter to be used on Yom Tov. And here I'm telling you, wood that falls off a tree on Shabbos cannot be used on Yom Tov. My time off. Well, why not? What's the difference? So the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan answers, Beitza mishum de biyoima nami chazi legoma, the egg, if not for the Isser Muksa, the egg, objectively speaking, is fit. Let's say it's laid on Shabbos. You can crack open the egg and swallow the raw egg. In other words, there's nothing inherently prohibited about the egg except for the concept of muktza, that it wasn't prepared beforehand. So the egg is, technically speaking, fit for Shabbos use. Velo koshori lo ad lamahar, and we do not allow it on Shabbos until the next day. I allow you to use the egg on Yom Tov that follows that Shabbos. Meida yediya debas yoima asruha. It will be known to the public that the rabbis imposed an isser on eggs that are laid on a holy day. So from the fact that you have an egg laid on Shabbos, and we're telling you, you cannot use it until the next day, people will understand that it's because of the Isser of Muktzah. Eitzim that fall off a tree on Shabbos, delo chozu liyomayu, they're not fit for Shabbos use. Forgetting about the problem of Muktzah, you can't use the wood for what it's designed. I mean, you can't use it as fuel on Shabbos because you're not allowed to ignite fires on Shabbos. Ishori luhu lamachar, if we allow the use of that wood as fuel on Yom Tov, which follows Shabbos, osi lameimar, people will think, biyomayu nami shoru, had the wood fallen off on Yom Tov day itself, it would have been okay. The esmol, in our case, where it fell off the previous day that was a Shabbos, and they saw us not using the wood, they'll think, Mishum Shabbos hu delochozu lahasoka. They'll think that the reason of the wood prohibition was only because it wasn't fit for Shabbos use, because it's hasoka means to be used as heat, as fuel for igniting it. So people will not get the point that the prohibition is not simply because it's wood and not fit for Shabbos use, but because there's an isser of muktzah, of things that were not prepared for that very day, as is the case of wood that falls off a tree on Yom Tov day. You cannot use that because upon the entrance of Yom Tov, it was still attached to the tree. It wasn't available for your use. And you're not allowed to cut wood off trees on Yom Tov. Therefore, it was necessary for us to take, say, a preemptive measure so that people do not get the wrong impression and prohibit the use of the wood on Yom Tov that follows Shabbos, even though the wood fell off the tree on the previous day on Shabbos. Omar Rav Matona. Eitzim shenoshu min hadekel l'soy chatanur b'yom tov. Wood falls off a tree directly into an oven on Yom Tov. Now, we just got finished pointing out that the wood itself is also because of muktzah. If it falls off on that very same day that happens to be a holy day, even if it's Yom Tov, there's still a muktzah problem with it. Here, the wood fell right into an oven. Marbe aleim eitzim muchonim umasikon. The advice given is add some prepared wood. Since Yom Tov is a day that you're allowed to cook, you're allowed to ignite fires for cooking purposes, so you probably have a stockpile of prepared wood. That's wood that you cut off a long time ago. It's not something that you cut off today from the tree, obviously. It's in your stockpile, in your woodshed. So the suggestion is outnumber the amount of prohibited wood by adding more prepared wood and burn it. Question, v'ho'ko mehapech be'isura, but when you are stoking the fire, when you're flipping over the wood, you are moving from side to side the prohibited wood. So you're moving the prohibited wood. Is that not a problem? Answer. Kevon derubo dehetero ninhu, since the majority is permissible wood, kikomahapech, when you are moving it around, pehetero komahapech, you are halachically or legally said to be moving the heter. And Rashi points out tersely, but importantly, he says, Sheho Iser, the prohibited wood, botel barov. It becomes voided, it's nullified in the majority. So when you have the minority as prohibited and the majority allowed, the minority loses its identity and it becomes all mutter. Question. V'ha komevatel isura lechatchila, but you are neutralizing or nullifying that which is otherwise prohibited as an initial choice. And we know utnan, and we've learned ein mevatlin isur lechatchila. You're not allowed to nullify that which is prohibited in a proactive fashion. There is a concept of an isur being botel barov, but for me to take a proactive measure to nullify the isur, that's not something we allow. The Gemara says, Hani mili, when does that restriction apply of ein mevatlin isur lechatchila? B'da'oraisa. That's when you're dealing with that which is prohibited from a Torah level, Torah standpoint. Avo b'darabonon mevatlin. But when it comes to that which is prohibited on a rabbinic level, as is the case here, you're dealing with the isur of muktza. The wood became detached, it fell off the tree on Yom Tov. The wood itself you can use by virtue of the fact you're allowed to ignite fires. The only problem is a rabbinic restriction that it wasn't prepared. All right, so it's prohibited rabbinically, but I'm allowed to proactively neutralize it by adding a majority of mutter wood. The Gemara continues, Ula Rav Ashi de Omar, an acquaintance of Ashi, that has said, Kol dover sheyeshlo matirin afilu b'derabonan lo botil, mai ika lemeimar. Rav Ashi explained, and you can find him by using the star that will lead you back to Omer Aleph. He says that when you have something that will become mutter later on, in other words, that which is usur on Yom Tov or on Shabbos because of muktza, just by waiting till the end of the holy day, once you reach a weekday, it becomes allowed. There's no problem. So, because through the passage of time it will become mutter, we don't allow any bittul of it. It's not botel, even in a mixture that you didn't mix proactively, but on its own got mixed up. Ma'iko lemeimar. So then, how can Rav Matana rule that in the case of Eitzim Shenoshub in Adekel, that Marbalem Eitzim Muchanim, the Ribui Eitzim Muchanim isn't going to help? The Gemara says, Hani mili hecha di ise li isura bi einei. Rav Ashi's point, the Dover Shieshla Matirin does not become neutralized in a mixture, that's when that which is prohibited, the Isser, is extant. Aha, in the case of the wood falling into an oven, Mikla Koli Isura, the actual wood is getting burnt up, it's turning into charcoal. So the original, actual prohibited item is no longer extant, and therefore, even according to Rav Ashi, bittul will take place. Here we have the second case of eggs. Itmar, Shnei Yomim Toivim Shel Golias. Here we're talking about the 2 days of Yom Tov as observed outside the land of Israel. So you have, let's say, Pesach falling out in the middle of the week, Tuesday and Wednesday. Those are 2 days of Yom Tov. Rav Omar Nolda Bozeh Muteres Bozeh, an egg laid on the first day of Yom Tov, you can use it the next day. Rav Asi Omar Nolda Bozeh Asuro Bozeh. And here, Rav Asi is stringent. Rav, contrary to his ruling in the previous scenario, here, Rav is the lenient opinion. Lema Kosova Rav Asi Kedusha Achasi. Shall we say that Rav Asi views the 2 days as one continuum? We have the same Gemara structure when we were trying to analyze Rav in the previous case, where the Gemara said that should we suggest that Rav holds that Shabbos and Yom Tov is one continuum of sanctity. So using the same mold, we're applying that to Rav Asi. Shall we say that his perception of the 2 days of Yom Tov Shel Golias are one long entity, and hence it's just like the egg is laid on the first day. You can't use it on the first day. You can't use it on the second day either, because it's just one long day. Well, to suggest that, the Gemara says, "V'hol Rav Asi mavdil miyom tov lechavri." But we know that Rav Asi, at the conclusion of the first 24 hours of Yom Tov, he makes Havdalah. And making Havdalah is a declaration of separateness, that the first day was the holy day. You make Havdalah when you are going from one level of Kedusha, descending to a lower level, to in this case, you're going from Yom Tov to non-Yom Tov. So he clearly does not view the 2 days as one continuum of sanctity. Rav Asi Sfukei Masafkale, the Gemara answers. Rav Asi actually is in doubt. The Ovid Hocha L'Chumra V'Hocha L'Chumra. And as a result, he looks at this situation with the attitude of stringency anywhere that stringency would be in order. Example, the egg on the second day will rule stringently. You cannot use it. That would give the feeling that it's one continuum. But we said he's in doubt about that. Okay, so we take Rav Asi makes the assumption that with regard to the egg on the second day, it is one continuum. Now, do I need to make Havdalah, yes or no? So we're stringent and we say, yes, you have to make Havdalah. And therefore, following the first day, he makes Havdalah. Also a stringency, but the result there is creating the impression that it's two Kedushas, not one continuum. Omar Rabbi Zera, Kavose Rav Asi Mistabra. Notice the structure here. You have Rav Asi, we call him number one. We dashed underline Kavose Rav Asi Mistabra, and Abaye, the next line, number two, Kavose Rav Mistabra. Each one of these, Amoroim, Rabbi Zera, and Abaye, they argue, like whom is it more likely to go, like Rav or Rav Asi? So Rabbi Zera says it's more likely to go like Rav Asi, that it views the 2 days with the attitude of stringency, that therefore Noldo Baze Asur Baze Do Idna, nowadays Yad Inon Bekevi'o Diarcha, we know how to establish the calendar. In other words, we have fixed calendars. And the 2 days of Yom Tov, we know that only the first day is truly the Torah holy day. We don't have any doubt about the second day. The second day, from a Torah perspective, is a weekday. The Ko'avdinon Trei Yomi. And we nevertheless observe 2 days of Yom Tov. So now we look at the Rashi. Rashi we read, is found in the middle of the wide lines, V'avdinon Shrei Yomi, Alma. This shows us Chok Kavua Hu Mitakonas Chachomam Yisrael Yisrael Rechoikim, that it's a fixed halacha, something established by the sages, something formally established, not something that the people out of doubt observed on their own, but the original institution of 2 days of Yom Tov in Chutz Laaretz is something that was established by the sages for those Jews living far away from Jerusalem to celebrate 2 days. Ve'afilu beloi sofek, even if there is no doubt, as is the case with us, where we know the calendar, we have a fixed calendar, and yet we observe 2 days. Hilkoch, the fact that 2 days are being observed when you don't even need to observe 2 days, as we just described, because there is no doubt. Why are we observing 2 days? Hilkoch kechad yoimo aricho shavinu. Therefore, it's established as if it's one long day. Truth be told, we should read Rashi before in order to see how these categories are established. Two categories of halacha. Either we call something chok kavua, something formally established as a rule by the sages, versus something that's a non-chok kavua, but fell into general practice because of doubt. In order to appreciate this a little bit more, let's backtrack with Rashi. Rashi on the second wide line under the Gemara text. Rashi going on, Leimo Kosova Rav Asi Kedusha Achasi, shall we say, Rav Asi, who was restrictive with regard to the 2 days of Yom Tov, he ruled that the egg on the second day, after having been laid on the first day, is still forbidden. A function of Kedusha Achas, one unit of sanctity, one continuum of sanctity, that would be Chachomim Kovum Al Bnei Gola La'asosom L'doros Machma Sofek Zeh. Something established by the Chachomim that for all generations, because originally there was an element of doubt. In other words, if you live far away from Israel and the new month, which is Rosh Chodesh, was established 2 weeks earlier, and you're now at the 15th of the month, what you think is the 15th of the month. Do you know exactly when Rosh Chodesh was established? At a time that, at a historical time when there was, when communication was through messengers on horseback? Well, if you live more than 2 weeks away from Jerusalem, you won't know by the 15th of the month that Rosh Chodesh was established 2 weeks prior. Literally 2 weeks prior. Maybe it was established only 13 days ago. And what you think is the 15th of the month is really the 14th of the month, and the next day you have to celebrate. So there was an element of doubt once upon a time, and as a result of that early element of doubt, the Chachomim moved in and said, listen people, wherever you are, when you're outside of Israel, you have to observe 2 days. So the Chachomim established it as a rule, V'tilum aleihem k'chomer yom oruch, with the stringency of one, viewing the 2 days as one long day. Well, if that's what Rav Asi's perception was, and that's why he forbids the egg on the second day, because it's simply considered a continuum of the first day, V'ho Rav Asi Mavdil, we're continuing the Rashi, did he not make Havdol Mavorach HaMavdil Ben Kodesh L'chol, and he actually recited a brocha, indicating the passage from holy day to weekday, after the first 24 hours of Yom Tov, the Kosovar, Kim Lon Bekevio Diarcho. Rav Asi holds that we know the calendar. Yom Tov Sheni Chol Gomor Hu. And since we have an established calendar, the day that we start celebrating the Yom Tov, that's the first day. And the second day is truly a weekday. And the fact that we observe the Yom Tov Sheni is Mishum Minig. Minig Avusenu Shelo Yodu Bekvias Achodesh Kamonu Vasomi Sofik Me'aleim. Anachnu Osim Osam. But the practice of the 2 days is something that they observed only because of doubt, and they did that on their own. It was never formally established to be 2 days, and we simply are following, even though we have a fixed calendar, our fixed calendar comes on the heels of a practice that the forebearers did on their own, without the Chachamim establishing it as a fixed practice. So, Rabbi Zeiro in our Gemara told us that Rav Asi's approach is most likely, that the second day is restricted. And how does he come to say that? Because it's viewed as one long continuum, because the original Chachamim established it to be observed as established to observe 2 days and to view it as one continuum of sanctity. Omar Abaye, we continue in the Gemara on the fourth wide line. Omar Abaye, Kavasei de Rav Mistabra. I feel that Rav's approach is more likely, that if it's born on the laid on the first day of Yom Tov, it's mutter on the second day. Disnan, and the reasoning for Rav is based on the following. Originally, when Rosh Chodesh was established in the Beis HaMikdash, and I wanted to inform the Jews wherever they were, bonfires were lit. Masuos, or bonfires, were lit on the top of mountains, and through almost instant communication, when Rosh Chodesh was declared, so that you would reach, let us say, you were counting a month, you were counting day 27, 28, 29, and on day 30, witnesses appeared in the court saying, "We saw the new phase of the moon." That day 30 becomes day 1. In other words, the previous month was 29 days, and the day 30 becomes day 1. Then they would immediately light bonfires that very night after they declared it Rosh Chodesh. And from mountaintop to mountaintop, you're dealing with distance ranges of maybe, 20 miles from one mountaintop to the next. There would be visual contact, and a chain reaction of these bonfires would be lit at reaching hundreds of miles away into the Jewish communities all over the inhabited world. So that's how everyone would have known when Rosh Chodesh was established and be able to celebrate the holiday on the true 15th of the month, as is the case of Sukkot and of Pesach. Shavuos is no problem, because Shavuos simply is a function of counting 50 days after the beginning of Pesach. Mishekilkulu akusim. However, the Jewish people, the practitioners of Torah Judaism, have always been beset by those who challenge Torah Judaism. All kinds of, we'll call, break-off groups, splinter groups, all those, sometimes the splinter are actually logs, because they represent a large number of Jewish people, but they are dissenters, they are heretics, they don't want to accept the Torah and the oral tradition. They're break-off groups. It's nothing new. Today we have groups like that. We don't have to name them specifically, but anyone who is aware of communities of Jews that don't accept Torah law, Shulchan Aruch law, Talmudic law, those are the break-offs. And they existed time immemorial. And One of those groups was called the Kusim, and they were interested in seeing the ruination of proper Jewish observance. And what they would do is that they would light bonfires at the time that's inappropriate, messing up everyone's calendar, and the rabbis had to take measures. What are we going to do now? We're not going to rely on bonfires anymore. So that's the era described as Mishikilklu HaKusim, when the Kusim messed things up for us. Hiskinu Shiyu Shluchim Yotz, and they established that messengers should go out on horseback and communicate the information. Well, at this point in time, then, you don't have the instant communication of when Rosh Chodesh is established, so that knowledge of the date that of when Rosh Chodesh was established was limited. In other words, till the time that you got to Yom Tov, till the 15th of the month, you were limited by not more than a 2-week journey. However far you can go on horseback, 2 weeks minus two Shabbosim, you know, can't travel Shabbos either. So whatever distance you could reach, those people would know by the 15th when Rosh Chodesh was really established. Those people who lived further, so they wouldn't know whether Rosh Chodesh was established on the 30th day of the previous month or the 31st day of the previous month. When we speak, by the way, of these numbers, 30th day being established as Rosh Chodesh, that means that on day 30, it would become day 1. And if we say day 31, what we're saying is day 31 would be declared the Rosh Chodesh, the previous month, and being only, would have been then 30 days. So that is the scenario, the situation when you are relying on shluchim, so that the knowledge of when the holiday falls out is limited to a 2-week horseback journey. The ilu botlu kusim, and if the kusim problem would disappear, and we'd go back to the bonfire method, avdinon chad yoma. Only one day of the holiday would be observed, because there would be no longer any element of doubt. Vehei chodemotu shluchim avdinon chad yoma, and during the time period that we do rely only on the shluchim, they do 1 day. Rashi says 5 lines from the avdi chad yoma b'chol duchto, in all places. That's when you're relying on the bonfire, so information will cover vast territories instantly. For idno nami hechodemotu shluchim kodim yom tov avdi chad yoma. So we see that the two day Yom Tov is not an established ruling coming from above, coming from the sages ruling that you must observe 2 days. It's in flux. Continuing in the Gemara, v'hashto diadinon bekevio diarcha. And nowadays, that we have an established calendar, and that we are really no different than the case of Masuos, my time of Dino Treyomi, so why are we observing 2 days? We don't need to observe 2 days. Why are we doing it? Mishum de Sholchu Mitom, because a message was sent from Eretz Yisrael, Hizaru B'minig Avoisechem B'yadechem. Be careful with the practice of the earlier generations. And the practice of the earlier generations was that they observed 2 days because of the element of doubt. Zimni de gozru amalchus gzera. There are times that evil governments rise. They rise and fall. But when they arise, as the communist regime that forbade everything that was Jewish, and Jewish calendars would go out of circulation, they might do that, the osi l'kukule, and if you don't maintain the practice of 2 days, and you would practice only the one day based on the fact that you have a calendar, but in the event that the calendar gets lost, as we actually witnessed in Jewish history, and you would continue observing one day, you might be off. You might be off by a day. So, because of the minhag, because of the custom that they had adopted on their own to observe 2 days, continue observing 2 days. But not because of a formal ruling at the outset that people should observe 2 days. So once again, the difference between Rav and Rav Asi is how would we view the observance of the 2 days according to Abaye's version, or Rabbi Zeiro's explanation of Rav Asi. It was a chok kavua, and therefore the egg on the second day is considered simply an extension of the first day, one long unit of sanctity. So even though it was laid on the previous 24-hour period, in this case it's one continuum of 48 hours of sanctity, and it's considered an egg laid on that very day, and hence it's considered muktza. Abaye's explanation of Rav leads us to view the 2 days as really two separate entities. The fact that we observe a second day to begin with is only a function of a custom, a minhag, and not a chok kavua. And therefore, it's two separate types of sanctity. Therefore, nolda bazeh, muteres bazeh. If it's laid on the first day, you can use it on the second day. We continue in the Gemara. Itmar, shnei yomim tovim shel Rosh Hashanah. Here we're dealing with the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, and what's interesting about Rosh Hashanah is that the observing of 2 days is common to all locales, not only outside of Israel, but even in Israel and even in Yerushalayim, where the court was located. 2 days of Rosh Hashanah is observed. That's in general terms. Here the Gemara gets into greater detail. So I have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. An egg is laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Can I use it on the second day? Rav Ushmuel, the Amri Travayo. Here you have Rav and Shmuel ruling. Nolda bozeh, asura bozeh. You'll notice, if you're sensitive to the markings, that we've underlined only Rav's name. And the reason for this is that we have pointed out the Rashi earlier that surveyed Rav's rulings in the three different cases. So we want to emphasize the presence of Rav in each one of the three triangled cases. Anyway, Rav and Shmuel, there's no argument here that if it's laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, you still cannot use it on the second day. And Rashi explains 3 lines from the bottom, Asura Bazeh, Shehem, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, Vaday Chok Kavua, Lios Kiyoim Oruch Midrabonan. There is no question about how to view the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. They're viewed as an established ruling on the part of the sages to be viewed as one long day, Midrabonan, on a rabbinic level. Shemitchila, Lo Machma Sofik Yisila Sosan, the observing of 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, its roots are not in the element of doubt. When we say doubt concerning which day is the Rosh Chodesh and which day is not. In other words, we will see that you can have a situation where witnesses who witnessed the appearance of the new phase of the moon, which establishes the beginning of the new month, witnesses have come, and I know the astronomical facts already, and yet a second day would be observed. We'll get into some details as we go on, but what we just described shows, it illustrates what Rashi says, that the observance of the 2 days is not because of suffix. Now, what's the background? So we continue in the Gemara. Disnan, Borishona hoi mekablum edus hachodesh kol hayom. In the old days, at the beginning, the court that sat in Jerusalem, sat in the Beis HaMikdash, would accept the witnesses that observed the new phase of the moon establishing the beginning of a new lunar cycle, a new, some people refer to a new Jewish month. They saw the witnesses that came to testify about their having seen the new lunar phase. They would accept that testimony all day. So that what was happening is that people were counting the days from the previous month, and they had been counting. There were day 27, day 28, day 29. 29 days is certainly, that's a minimum number of days for a lunar month. The lunar cycle happens to be 29 and a half days approximately. So 29 days is the minimum number of days for a lunar month. Now, the question is, how do I continue my counting? Do I continue and say the next day is day 30 and the Rosh Chodesh begins the following day? Day 1 is the what we would call day 31, really is day 1. Or when I reach day 30, that becomes the new month. Well, how would that become the new month? If witnesses appear on day 30 and tell the court that we saw the new phase of the moon, we would then say, oh, now is day 1. The previous day being 29, the end of that month, today is the beginning of a new month. The source describes receiving and accepting witnesses and their testimony throughout the entire day, till sundown of what we'll say is what we call day 30. Till sundown, we would accept witnesses, and if they appear before sundown, we would declare that to be day 1 of the new month. Pamachas nishtohu edim lavo. On one occasion, they had reached day 30. The witnesses did not come first thing in the morning. They didn't come at noontime either. They came late in the day. Nishtahu is to delay. They came late in the day and were featuring the Beis HaMikdash. V'niskalku, we're at the top of Daf Hey Omed Aleph. V'niskalku halavim b'shir. The Levium, the Levites that were charged with saying the Shira, literally the song in the Beis HaMikdash. There was Shira that was associated with the sacrifices. The daily sacrifice was offered. There was a daily sacrifice in the morning and a daily sacrifice in the afternoon. Which Shira, which song, which passage would be recited was broken down into weekday songs and non-weekday type songs. And when we see non-weekday songs, we include Shabbos, Yomim Tovim, and Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Hashanah. They had special Shirim. So what happened in this particular incident is the witnesses did not come. They didn't come early. They came after the offering of the afternoon daily sacrifice. And the Levium thought, well, the witnesses haven't come by now. They're not going to be coming. So they said the weekday shear for the afternoon daily sacrifice. And lo and behold, witnesses came later. Well then, retroactively, a different shear should have been recited. So there was a mess up. That's niskaklovim b'shir. Hiskinu. They established Shiloyu Mikablim Esoedim Elo Ad HaMincha. The rabbis of old established were not accepting witnesses beyond Mincha. then that means until the offering of the Tomid Shobein Ho'arbayim, until the offering of the weekday afternoon daily sacrifice. Ve'im bo edim in amincha lamala, if they would come later in the day, after the Tomid Shobein Ho'arbayim was offered, we're not going to declare that day to be Rosh Chodesh. Even though, astronomically, we know that it is Rosh Chodesh, we're not, and the rabbis have this power, we're not going to accept the testimony, Noagin Oysa Hayom Kodesh Ulamachor Kodesh, and in the case of Rosh Hashanah, which apparently is the case that in which this took place, and we didn't explain that enough a few minutes ago. In the case of Rosh Hashanah, when a holiday shir should have been said, and that's what they messed up on because the witnesses came late in the day, the ruling was, we're not declaring today Rosh Hashanah. Tomorrow will be Rosh Hashanah. And the result of that is that the first day that they were waiting for the witnesses to come, they had been observing as a holy day, because in the event that the witnesses came before the Tomid Shobein Habayim was offered, they would have declared that to be Rosh Hashanah. So out of the state of unsuredness, they were observing from the previous night, they were observing it as a holy day. Oh, the witnesses showed up after the Tomid Shobein Habayim. We say, you know what? Tomorrow is going to be Rosh Hashanah, and not today. So there's no mess up in the shir, because today is officially being considered a weekday. As far as holiday observance, since they had begun observing that day in anticipation of the possibility of witnesses coming as a holy day, so they finish off that day as a holy day, and the next day will be the official Rosh Hashanah. And that's what the source says. In the event that the witnesses would come after Mincha, after the offering of the Tomid Shobein Ho'arbayim, they observe that day and the next day in holiness. So what do we see here? We see even in the Beis Hamikdash, the center of all of these rules of calendar establishment, even there, there was an observance of 2 days, and not a function of doubt of when was the new lunar phase cited, but because of this takona, because of an established legal ruling on the part of the sages, that 2 days have to be observed. As a result of that, wherever 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are observed, it's a function of what we call a takonas chachamim, its roots. The 2 days of Rosh Hashanah have it as at its roots a takonas chachamim, and not an issue of doubt. Rashi is fairly elaborate on this point, and it's worth our while going through the Rashi. Rashi, on the first narrow line, Ad HaMincha, the ruling was because of that one-time mess-up where the witnesses came after they had already offered the daily afternoon sacrifice and recited the weekday shir, so they made a rule, we're not accepting the witnesses Ad HaMincha, until we will accept them only until the Mincha Ad HaKrovas Tomid Shobein Ho'arbayim, Rashi says, until the offering of the afternoon daily sacrifice. Aval the Achar Mikan, but after that, Oso Hayom Harehu Me'ubar, Umonin Miyom HaMochros Yom HaKippur V'Sukkos. But if they come after the Tomid Shobein Ho'arbayim, then Me'ubar means we extend the month, and only the next day will be considered Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the year, is also the beginning of the month of Tishrei. It's a new month. Umoinin miyom hamochros, and we count from that next day the counting that leads to Yom Kippur and Sukkos. Beimbo edim min amincha lamalo, afal pi she'ein monin lemoadas mehayom, in that event that the witnesses do come later in the day, and we don't count that as a holy day, as the first of Tishrei, we don't. Nevertheless, lo mezalzino bei b'chai shloshim, we don't treat lightly that day 30. Ela gomer moso b'isuro k'asher huzaru ala mincha mimolocha. We continue and complete that day with molocha restriction. We do not engage in constructive activities as if it were a holy day. Kein noagim v'gomer moso. So we finish it off in sanctity. Alma, what do we see from all of this? We see Tchilas Asiya Shnei Yomim Rosh Hashanah Afilu Beisdin Havei, that there was the original observance of 2 days of Rosh Hashanah took place even in the court, even in the Beis HaMikdash. V'loi Misafik, and not out of doubt of when the new lunar phase was sighted. Sharei Vadai Sheyom Tov L'Mohar. In this case, we know that the next day is Yom Tov, is the Rosh Chodesh, the Afal Pikein, and even so, Tiknu La'asoso, they nevertheless were established that the previous day is also a holy day, Shma Mino, Chok Chachomim Mitzvosen Hoya, using the same Lashon that we saw before in the Rashi, Chok Chachomim, an established rabbinic rule, and their commandment, to make the 2 days bevo edim achar hamincha, in that event that the witnesses came late in the late afternoon. V'horachokim, people who in fact lived far away, yeshaleim lasosan b'chol shana, they have to observe 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, shema yavo edim achar hamincha, because the witnesses might come late in the day. V'arei kedushaso achas, those 2 days are therefore viewed as one continuum of sanctity, one long day. The ein kan lomar mimonav shochad binayu chol the shema. And here you don't have what you do have in the case of 2 days of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias, 2 days of Pesach or 2 days of Sukkot. There we say, well, we're in doubt. One of them is not really a holy day. That analysis is not applicable to the 2 day Rosh Hashanah situation. The Shema Ein Kan Chol Elo Shneim Chodesh. In the case of the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, even if you live far away and you in fact do have a doubt, but there in Jerusalem they might be observing 2 days, not a function of doubt. They might be observing it as Chok HaChomim, granting Kedusha status to both of the days. To rephrase that, when you have 2 days of a holiday being observed, not as a function of doubt, but rather because of a rabbinic ruling, those 2 days then take on the status of Kedusha Arichta, one continuum of sanctity. And hence, the egg laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, as far as the second day is concerned, it's still considered part of the first day. It's one long, single entity of time. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.